I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Over the weekend, there was one kind of parade in New York City. Hundreds of thousands of people from around the world marching in support of strong action against climate change. Today, New York is seeing another kind of parade on the same issue, world leaders parading to the podium at the UN and making an array of promises to tackle various parts of the climate challenge. The ultimate goal, of course, is a new global climate treaty that's supposed to be nailed down by the end of next year. But there are still huge differences that stand in the way of that. Some are between the U.S. and big developing countries like China and India. But there's even a big gulf on climate policy between the U.S. and our closer friends and allies in Europe. For some insight into why that is, we've rung up Clarice Kaler-Siebert. She's an international lawyer and researcher at the Stockholm Environment Institute. Clarice, am I wrong to see the challenge of climate change as being easier for Europeans to face than the U.S., and why is that?
I'm not sure I'd characterize it as easier, but it's certainly different. And I think one reason, I'm an international lawyer, and when you're a hammer, everything's a nail, is, of course, in how policy and laws are approached in the US as compared to the EU. And if we want to paint it broadly, I think you could characterize it as, well, we all know that in the US, in order to make international law, approval of Congress and the Senate are needed in advance, which makes it very, very difficult to come to an international gathering and make promises. Whereas the constraints, if that's what we want to call them, on EU lawmaking is quite different, and there's a little bit more freedom there to use it as a target setting and then to go home and figure out just how those goals and targets are going to be met. And essentially, that's what we've seen in international lawmaking in the climate context. And the result is that the EU can come out looking proactive and the US can come out looking like the slow-moving bad guy.
I wonder how much of that gulf between the US and the EU is really about values.
I think it is. There's a different spirit that drives public policy. There are different interests. I think one thing we might come to is the power of corporate interests. In Europe, it's not private entities that are funding political campaigns, for example.
Clarice, what about just the difference in way the U.S. and European countries see and understand science? I mean, are there any politicians in Europe who are still having a debate about whether climate change is real or not?
There are, but very much on the margins. I think the role of climate science and the space and voice of climate skepticism is quite different. To my knowledge, for example, there aren't any big media outlets for climate skepticism.
You know, I think of the National Health Service in the UK and how it grew out of the ashes of World War II. How much do you think a lot of this has to do with the war and the pressure European nations felt to collectively defend against any sort of massive challenge?
I think that's probably a fair characterization. There's certainly a different culture of cooperation and meeting a common challenge that drives European politics that isn't present in the US. Sure.
So just to get back to where we started and this continued push for a new UN treaty on the climate, I mean, the whole idea of international negotiations, big national commitments is not seeming to gain traction here. Does America somehow need to become more like Europe, or are we just trying to squeeze into a shoe that doesn't fit?
I think there's some element of that. I mean, the systems in place are so different that maybe they need different approaches or different solutions. If we start with the reverse answer to your question, I think there's something about the lack of progress at the national level in the US that has driven really interesting, creative, entrepreneurial action at subnational levels, at the state level, at the city level, that you may not see anything comparable to in Europe. And that's something that should be kept and celebrated. And then, of course, there's a challenge of adding all of those individual actions up and seeing if it's enough. But it's certainly a good starting point.
Clarice Kaler-Siebert is a contributing author to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and a lawyer and researcher at the Stockholm Environment Institute. Thanks for your time. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Marco.